Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
If you are a regular listener of the Beacon broadcast, you know that we are in Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. And we have come to the first subject which is addressed in this epistle, which begins in verse 10 of chapter 1, and the subject is divisions in the church. Paul begins by addressing a problem. When he says in verse 10, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Divisions in the church. They existed. Paul begins with an exhortation. He begins with an appeal. "I'm appealing to you by the authority of Christ. I am pleading with you that you get over these divisions, that you heal these divisions, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you all be of the same mind and of the same opinion about Christian doctrine, about the person and work of Christ, about the gospel, and about Christian behavior, the way it is that Christians are to behave one toward another." And Paul says, "I want you to be perfectly joined together." And you remember, that is a term that is used of mending a broken bone or of mending broken fishing nets. We find the disciples doing that sometimes. Jesus found them, and there they were mending their nets. Well, that's the word that is used here. Be perfectly joined together. They're joining together those broken strands of their fishing net. Or perfectly joined together, like a doctor does when he takes two parts of a broken bone and he puts them back together. It's a painful thing, but you have to do that for the healing to begin. And that gives us a clue as to what we need to do in order to get rid of divisions in the church. We've got to get the broken things mended. And so that's where it begins. But there's more. And we will pause and welcome you to this Friday, April 9th edition of the Beacon broadcast, and remind you that we are in need of your financial help. So you have exhortation in verse 10, "I plead with you, brethren." You have communication in verse 11, and here Paul tells us how he came to know about these divisions in the church of Corinth when Paul himself was actually in Ephesus on a different continent. He was quite a ways away. But here's how he knew, verse 11. "For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you." Now he uses a different word. Divisions in verse 10, contentions in verse 9. And how did Paul know this? Well, he tells us that some from the household of Chloe. In my Bible, the term household is in italics. The actual literal phrase in the Greek is "those of Chloe." It has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe. That is, Chloe's people, or Chloe's household, or that's people that are related to Chloe. We don't know who Chloe is, but we do know that this report came to Paul. And we don't know how it came. We don't know whether they wrote a letter to Paul, and it came to him, and they reported this problem. Or what is even more likely is that Chloe, or some of the people from her household, visited with Paul in Ephesus. And of course, what did Paul do? Well, how are things going in Corinth? How's the church going? What's the state of the church? What's going on in the church? And they no doubt reported to him many things, and I'm sure not all of them were problematic, but they said, "We have to tell you, Paul, that there are divisions. There is a problem. There's something that's going on that is detrimental to the health of the church. It's been declared to me," and it was apparently convincing. Paul was convinced enough that he didn't consider this could possibly be a misrepresentation, could be a false report, could be simply gossip or slander. He realized by some means that we don't have given to us here, it might even have been the Spirit of God who revealed this to him, for he was an apostle and he did receive that kind of revelation, but in some way, when this report came to him, he did not doubt it in any way whatsoever. In fact, that makes me think that he probably already had some intimations of it, but maybe not as clear a report, a clearer description of what was going on as what he received from Chloe's household. But this report came to him, and now the word is contentions. Verse 10, that there be no divisions. Verse 11, that there are contentions, and that is a word that means quarrels and arguing. That's what's going on. You've got people in the church who are quarreling with one another. You've got people in the church who are arguing with one another. You've got people in the church who are out of sorts with one another. You've got people in the church who are not enjoying good, godly, loving Christian fellowship with one another, but rather instead are mad at one another and are carrying on conflicts, involved with conflicts and carrying on debates and arguments with one another. That's what's going on. Okay. But what exactly does this look like in this particular case? We all have seen similar things in churches, and we can fill in a description according to what we have experienced, but there's a clarification in verse 12, and Paul tells us particularly what it is that has come to him by way of report when he says in verse 12, "Now I say this, that each of you says," you know this is part of the report of Chloe's household, because Paul is now repeating back to them what they have said. And the only way he could have known that is somebody told him. This is what they were saying. "So now I say this, that each of you says," and here it is, this is a very well-known phrase, "I am of Paul," or "I am of Apollos," or "I am of Cephas," or "I am of Christ." There were evidently at least four groups, four cliques in the church, and they had organized around particular personalities. They were coalescing around someone with a dominant personality. Some said, I'm a follower of Paul. And Paul was their apostle. And Paul had preached the gospel, and most of them had come to faith in Christ under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And Paul was the founder of the church. And there were those who said, "I'm of Paul, I'm loyal to him." And then there were some that said, "Well, I'm of Apollos." And Apollos was an eloquent, persuasive preacher who had come to Corinth. We can read about him in Acts chapter 18. We read in verse 24, "Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus," and we learn a little bit about him here. I'm not going to read it all, but then later we find out that Paul recommended that he go to Corinth and minister there. So he'd been to Corinth, and he'd preached there powerfully, and a lot of people really liked him. They liked his preaching. They liked his style. They liked his eloquence. He had a way of preaching that just captivated them, and the words just flowed. He was an eloquent man. He was a persuasive man. And there were a lot of people that really liked that. And they said, "Well, I like Apollos better than Paul. I am of Apollos." And then there was the Cephas group. "I am of Cephas," that is Peter. And, of course, we all know who Peter was, the Apostle Peter. And Peter was a strong personality. I don't know if you would call him eloquent or not, but he was certainly a forceful man. And he had been there. Paul makes reference to that in chapter 9, verse 5, when he says, "Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and Cephas?" Well, he's referring to Cephas being there and bringing his wife along when he traveled there and preached there. And they were aware of that. So, obviously, Peter had been there, and there were a lot of people that liked him. They just liked his style. They liked his personality. They were drawn to this forceful, powerful man. And so, there were some that said, "Well, I am of Cephas." And then there was the group that says, "Well, I am of Christ," claiming a superior spirituality. And, of course, what they were saying was actually a good thing. Everybody should be of Christ first. We are followers of Christ first, and only followers of men to a lesser extent. It's appropriate. Paul said in another place, "Be ye followers of me, as I am of Christ." It's appropriate to follow godly men who can teach us the Word of God and can help us become better followers of Jesus Christ, but we don't put them on the same plane with Christ, not even close. Christ is supreme. Christ is to be glorified and honored. Christ is to be exalted. And men are always secondary to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this group sounded like the most spiritual group out of the four. But it turns out to have been a false spirituality. It's kind of this pompous piety that some people have when they're trying to trump other people. But it's not a true spirituality. And so here you've got these people all divided around personalities. "I am of Paul. I like his style. He is the founder of the church, and he has a knowledgeable, intellectual approach that appeals to me." "Well, I am of Apollos. He is eloquent and persuasive, and I like his style. That is my preference." "And I am of Cephas." And Peter was more down to earth and probably very emotional and strong, and some people weren't particularly drawn to that kind of personality. "And then I am of Christ. We're the most spiritual ones. You others are all carnal, but we're spiritual. We're of Christ." And it wasn't just enough that they held these preferences to themselves quietly. We probably all have some preferences along these lines. But they were arguing. They were quarreling. They were dividing over this until there were different groups, different cliques in the church that were mad at one another. That was the problem. We will return to it on Monday. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.